Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go.
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
We're getting Ricky Skaggs on this show. Remind me? You really don't know Ricky Skaggs.
Jeff Lutz.
Son of the late, great Bob Skaggs.
You're funny.
I'm so funny, it's almost hard to bear.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I am so totally turned on right now, I could spit.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a Wednesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting. Max Power is our producer and engineer, and we'll be here for a couple of hours. We've loaded up with guests in our final week here on the show, which we've been doing. We've had a lot of our frequent guests come on the show. Today's no different. At 5:20, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, will make his final appearance with us. At 5:40, the girls' basketball coach at Wellington, Eric Adams, will join the show. Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle covers Wichita State athletics and really all sports for that publication. Will be our guest at 6 o'clock. And at 6:20, Wichita State volleyball coach Chris Lamb. Pretty good show put together. Would you agree?
Sure. Oh, sure.
Would you agree?
Oh, sure.
What does that mean?
Sure.
Well, are you excited about it?
I don't know. It's got to talk to a lot of people.
Well, that's what this week's about, right?
I understand. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, so we line them up and knock them down.
I slept a long time.
Did you not work today?
I worked. I got up when I was supposed to, but I fell asleep at about 6:30 last night.
Why?
Exhausted, my friend.
Really?
Yep.
At your age?
At my age? I'm 103.
I don't recall ever being exhausted at 40, in my 40s.
Well, I work a lot harder than you did.
Really?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
What do you do? What do you do? Take me through a day.
I don't need to do that.
I'm curious.
I've worked.
I don't think you've ever done that.
I work.
Well, take me through the day. You get there, what do?
Work.
Get on your computer.
I don't want to do this.
I'm curious.
I don't want to do this.
Well, but I'm curious. I genuinely am
but
curious.
But you know what my job is. I do that throughout the day. I'm a digital...
Is there a supervisor there when you arrive?
No. I mean, we have our morning executive producer, but he's not really over me. I mean, he is.
So they just give you the reins.
But let's be honest, I probably make more money than he does.
So do you just they just give you the reins?
Online, of course. Why wouldn't they?
You don't have to get the approval from anyone.
But in the morning, I'll go in and I'll do the reporter story from the morning. Usually that's Max out somewhere doing something, putting a story together. I'll put that online. I'll cut the weather video and put that up. What else do I always do in the morning? That's probably the only two.
You have a meeting at some point?
9:30.
9:30 meeting.
Every day, budget meeting.
There you go.
They do the afternoon one at 2 after I've already departed. But yeah, and then throughout the day, I'll wait for news to come in. I called a guy today about a rare bird. Looks like we are pursuing that story for on air, though. So, you know, I'll let them handle that.
Oh, that's okay. You found the story.
Well, it was already kind of out there.
What's the next kind of a feature profile you're
going to work on? I haven't planned that yet. I'm trying to get through this show. I'm waiting on some other things. I'm kind of going to take a reset.
A
hard reset of my professional life, and then...
Really? And what then, does that mean?
It means I'm just going to scale back for a week or two, hopefully, and then figure things out.
Well, there you go.
Probably take Monday after the Super Bowl off, because I'll be working the Super Bowl, so, you know, I'll have a good time on Sunday.
I'm going to set a more rigid schedule for me to be at our building. Like, I'm going to be there 2 days a week in the morning and 2 days a week in the afternoon.
Sounds pretty cool.
Sounds
lovely. Yes. We stopped doing the show from there because we had a mishap the last time.
Yeah, I don't trust it as much.
Not as much.
Still got our equipment over there. You want to do tomorrow's show there?
Sure, why not?
Let me think about that.
Duda and I can play catch one last time.
I don't know if Duda's on tomorrow.
Duda's on tomorrow.
He is?
Yes, and Friday.
For all 4 hours Friday?
I don't know. I don't know if he'll hang in for all 4 hours.
I'm trying to book that show. That's going to be a challenge.
But I know David Michael Hahn will stop in around 5:15.
5:15?
That's what he said.
Our time or real time?
Real time. That is both on Friday.
He'll be there for our 5:20 guests.
Yeah.
I got Chris Davis and Weston Schartz booked for 2:20. That's a 4-hour extravaganza.
It is.
From 2 to 6.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah, we're knocking Jim Rome off the air for once. Yeah. Huh? Huh, Jimmy?
Well,
what do you think
it is
that,
what
Jimmy?
It is, I guess. I'm sure he'll be on after us, won't he?
No.
He won't?
No.
Wow. Super Bowl week, too.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Bumping him.
Feels good.
Is everyone coming in?
I haven't gotten that far yet.
All right, well,
I haven't
good
even
luck.
Got tomorrow's show booked.
I'm sure you'll do a great
what
job.
What high school coach you want on tomorrow?
Troy Black.
All right, I'll reach out to Troy Black. Anybody else?
I love Troy Black. I don't know. I'm not sure. Trying to figure out guys who do really good interviews, guys and women. We got to have a woman on. Have we had any women on the show as guests this week?
Well, Joanna will be on Friday.
Right.
Who do you want to get?
I'm not sure. I'll have to think about that.
Stana Jefferson?
That'd be fantastic. One of my favorite people of all time. Her team has not been great this year, though,
that
unfortunately.
That doesn't matter. We'll give it a shot.
Sure, I will.
Of course, he's the girls' coach at Andover Central. We can.
Taylor Dugan has always been a good guest.
We just had her on last week.
It's been a few weeks.
No, it's been last week.
You sure about that? Because yep. I was here every day last week, and I don't remember that happening.
She was on. Mm. She was on the 22nd of January.
That's 3 weeks ago, almost.
But anyway, I'll figure it out.
You will.
We want to try to get Brian Green on.
I always enjoy Brian Green. He's a good conversation. We probably should, since their media day, I believe, was yesterday or the day before, and their season starts in a week.
Next Friday, a week from Friday, down in Lake Charles, Louisiana, I believe.
Little Bessie girl I once knew.
Don't know what that means.
You don't?
No.
Up on Cripple Creek,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I don't follow Cripple Creek.
You don't like the band?
Yeah, I like the band.
Yeah, me too. So let's...
Name a member of the band.
Levon Helm.
Name another one.
I don't know. The guy who just died.
Yeah, whatever. That's not your best effort. So we'll keep working on the guests we want on the final week of the show. I am very distracted. I got to tell you, I just got so much on my mind right now.
Yeah, me too.
What are you
distracted about?
I got a lot of things.
Well,
going.
Stop putting things in my brain. You deal with your stuff. We'll reconvene on Monday.
Reconvene on Monday?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not reconvening on Monday. We don't have a show Monday.
No. We'll reconvene privately. We're not going to be on the air, so you can let me know how your distractions are going, and I'll let you know about mine.
Well, my distractions are mostly just League 42 related, trying to make sure we have everything going in the right direction.
I'm sure you do.
Can I give a shout out to our friend Coy Hill?
Sure.
I keep going back to the well on Coy Hill.
We do?
Wichita State played there, played in the pros, played in the big leagues for quite some time.
Former Kansas star.
And Coy has once again donated catcher's gear, as he's done 3 or 4 previous times. And I'm just appreciative of that.
Coy Hill's a good guy, it sounds like. I don't know him that well. I've met him a few times. Never had a negative interaction.
Very down-to-earth individual. Good guy. Understands it. Gets it. You know, he was a part of some of those good Cubs teams, which we don't talk about, but one of his very good friends is Ryan Dempster.
That's cool.
Did Dempster pitch for the Kansas Stars?
I don't think so, but he probably, he might have still been at the end of his career at that point. I'm not sure, but it's probably pretty close.
Right.
Yeah, Coy Hill played for the Cubs. What was I going to say about him?
Was with the Cardinals briefly.
Yeah, I was going to say that I know in the big leagues and in pro ball, they make catchers out of guys who weren't previously catchers, but he played third base and infield for Wichita State and got to the big leagues as a catcher, which I think is impressive, regardless of how long he played.
He learned the trade.
And he had a good career.
Very hard-nosed player, and I'm sure used that determination to figure out how to catch.
I bet he had some conversations with Brent Chemnitz as he was going through the minor league system about how to handle a pitching staff and
perhaps
communication.
There's guys I'd call before Brent.
Oh, but Brent's good at that stuff.
Of course, I'm teasing.
I know, but I still had to put my friend Brent.
Play along with me.
I teased him yesterday.
Yeah, Brent was on the show yesterday. One of those guys who's been on a lot.
Yes.
I got a book tomorrow. So we've decided on Troy Black and Stana Jefferson.
Yeah.
As a couple of potential guests tomorrow.
Right.
Who else?
I don't know. Should we get comedian
Brian
Aaron
Green.
Should we get a comedian Aaron Weber on the show?
Why would we get him?
I don't know. He just had a special come out. It was pretty funny. We had him on before, if you remember. He's part of that Nate Bargatze group.
Would you send me a list of celebrities, performing artists that you can remember who we've had on?
Because I can try, but I'm not going to remember any more than you do.
If you if you can do that too, if you could both send me the list, because I have some recollection of some, but I'd like to post on Facebook all the entertainment guests we've had on over the years.
Max has a much better archival system than us trying to think of it.
I started a list back a few years ago, but I didn't keep it up.
You'll miss dozens. I mean, dozens.
I'll go through and look at a lot of things.
But Nate Bargatze was on the show.
Well, sure he was.
I can't believe that. That's crazy. He was pretty famous at the time. He wasn't just this guy out playing the street corner. He was doing big clubs.
I saw some of his first videos back several years ago. Kind of puffy face kid.
Yeah.
Looked like it's just amazing what he's accomplished.
And now he's the biggest comedian on the planet Earth.
Is he the biggest?
Yeah.
Bigger than Chris Rock.
Chris Rock isn't out there touring.
But he's not bigger than Chris Rock.
He's pretty big.
He's not bigger than Dave Chappelle.
Okay. He's the biggest touring comedian on the planet.
Is he bigger than Bill Burr?
Yes.
Wow. Who's the other?
Quite a bit bigger, I would say.
Really?
Yeah. Bill Burr is a little more polarizing than Nate Bargatze.
Well, I know that, but that doesn't... Does that affect how big you are?
A little bit. Not completely.
Who's the other famous comedian? Middle-aged guy, wears glasses.
Brian Regan?
No.
He doesn't wear glasses.
No, the other guy. This guy, if he doesn't wear glasses.
I don't know who you're thinking of.
Kind of strawberry blonde hair, was on the Grammys the other night when Trevor Noah had to step away. Hosted that briefly. You know who I'm talking about.
Not really. I don't know, Brian.
This is so frustrating. When you can't...
Oh, Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, there you go. How big is he?
Pretty big. Pretty big. He's very good.
Is Trevor Noah big?
Yeah, but what do you see him on anymore? Does he do anything other than the Grammys every year? I mean, I know he does, but what do you see him on?
Is Letterman still big?
He's always big.
Would you count him as big?
He's massive. Anytime he does something, it's must watch.
Seinfeld?
Absolutely. Still doing it.
And he'll be in Wichita soon, as will Nate Bargatze. We're getting better comedians than we are musicians.
Well, when they can play arenas and concert halls and things like that, then yeah, it's good.
You'll love this. I'm taking my 400th journey down K King of Queens Boulevard.
Oh, God.
Oh, so funny.
Again?
So funny. So funny.
There's never been a less funny show. I just don't get it.
My wife loves it. I love it. It's funny. They're all funny.
Does she love it? I'm always very skeptical of these shows she's more or less forced to watch. And I don't know. Does she love them?
Well, Debbie, if you're listening, send us a little text. Do you love The King of Queens?
That's all I'm wondering.
We get great laughter from it.
That's
I'm not
good.
Forcing her to laugh.
That's true.
Every time Jerry Stiller opens his mouth, it's funny. And if you don't think he's funny, you're the most humorless
dull.
Yeah,
he's much funnier on Seinfeld.
No, I disagree.
Because he's playing the exact same character, essentially. And it was funnier on Seinfeld.
I don't agree. I don't agree.
All right.
He's tremendously funny.
He's a funny guy.
And so is Kevin James.
Mm.
And so is Patton Oswalt.
Well, yeah, Patton Oswalt's funny.
And so is Leah Remini. And they're all funny.
Kevin James is not funny.
James is so funny. Time for a break. We'll come back and talk with our good friend Tim Fitzgerald. GoPowerCat.com. We'll get his thoughts on the resurgent K-State men's basketball team. Coming up next.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing. Don't give a f- my heart bleeding.
Papa Roach here with Last Resort. The Last Waltz, the musical theme for the last week of the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. It's Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Frequent guest of ours and many other radio shows throughout the years, but has told me privately this is the show he likes to be on. Fitz, welcome.
I do love doing this show because of that, because of those things. I'm sorry to hear the show's ending. Guys, I think you've done an outstanding job. Every time I'm on, you ask great questions. An informative, entertaining show. Congratulations. It's easy to be boring on the radio, but not as easy to do things the way you have, and I appreciate it very much.
All that ends today, Fitz.
I appreciate that. You never know what the future holds, as I tell everyone. I got a lot of life left in me, Fitz. Who knows? Maybe. I hope. So what's happened with K-State basketball? They went from being down and out, really, and everybody jumping off the bandwagon and Jerome Tang can't coach, and everything that happened 2 years ago was an illusion. And now they're hot. They go up to Ames and throttle Iowa State, and they look like a good basketball team. What in the heck's going on?
I appreciate you having me on for my expert analysis, because my answer is, how the hell do I know? I can't figure this out. This is just one of the strangest things I've ever seen. It's literally like a switch was flipped. And all of a sudden, they can see. They understand what they're supposed to be doing. They're defending much better. They're getting the ball off of missed shots or turnovers and running with it. They're attacking the rim, something they didn't do as much in last night's game at Arizona State. But they did enough to escape with the win. They're just playing to a really well-defined identity. Guys, after most of the season, having no identity at all and not even being close to one. And now they know who they are, who their players are, what their roles are. And they got to be pretty scary to anyone lying in their path right now, including two really good teams coming up in Bramlage Coliseum in Kansas and Arizona.
Yeah, it hasn't been since the K-State-Wichita State game that the teams went in opposite directions, because K-State was still down for a little bit after that. But you talked then about you know, going with some younger players, changing up the rotation a little bit. Is if that's not exactly what worked, is just changing something kind of always a key to this? You just don't go with the status quo?
Yeah. I mean, you can't keep trying to use the same tools that weren't getting the job done. And they have moved some things around. We've seen they're using EK Grucco a lot more. Moby's been a dose of energy. He was on the floor in the last minute of the game. That's how much trust he's earned, despite being a really raw player, really a lot to learn. We've seen David Castillo, his minutes tick up. Sometimes he gets a little overwhelmed by things as a true freshman. But the real key here is Doug McDaniel's taking control of this team as a point guard needs to do. And Coleman Hawkins now is doing a better job of mixing his offensive skill sets with his ability to pass and create for others. And it's just really paid off. But honestly, guys like David Gasan, who plays his ass off every game and was huge in that Arizona State game, and Max Jones has turned into the blue-collar guy that does everything that needs to be done. This has been a pretty effective lineup. And now that Brendan Housen is shooting the ball, is shooting the ball much better, it's really impressive what they're able to do on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, you hadn't mentioned Housen, and I was going to jump in there with him because he's made an impression on me in recent games with that ability to shoot the ball. But even more than that, kind of the chip on the shoulder he plays with, and it's kind of you know, when K-State was not playing well and it kind of seemed futile, the chip on the shoulder. But now you see some of these guys, and it seems to fit this program and this particular team pretty well, and he's one of the ringleaders. Do you agree with my assessment there?
I do. And a shout-out to him because he's improved his defense a lot. Because I think he was humiliated, embarrassed earlier in the year when the TV announcers kept highlighting, I can't remember what game it was, if it was TCU or Oklahoma State, how the opposing offense was just taking advantage. They were running everything at Housen, and I think they took it to heart. They have got to defend better. He's become a much more complete player. He can get to the rim. He threw a beautiful alley-oop last night, and I think the real key for him is now that K-State's decided to attack the rim, he's getting a lot of passes from the inside out, and that's just a better catching and shooting position. And when he catches it cleanly and he is alone, there's a good chance he's going to make it. It's pretty fun to watch. And, you know, I think the shot at Iowa State when he just put the dagger in from about 35 feet was a real statement and probably incredibly boosted his confidence.
So usually, you know, when you see teams kind of operate to the extremes that Kansas State has, both good and bad, the truth probably is somewhere in the middle. I would definitely say they're closer to good than bad, but how far from the middle are they, and how far from the middle could they possibly get?
Well, let's put it this way. This conference has a collection of really good coaches, and Bill Self might be the best of them. So if KU doesn't have solutions for what K-State's doing, it might persist. They might continue to have success. But someone's going to begin to peel back this new onion that K-State's presenting and figure out how to disrupt what they're trying to do and how they're doing it and what their new weaknesses are now that they're playing better defense. And I think Self's probably the most equipped to do that in the conference, and that's what they need to be on alert for Saturday afternoon at Bramlage and be prepared to, you know, counter whatever they do, because it's coming. People are going to figure them out to some degree. And they've got to be able to move on to the next thing if that's necessary.
Tim Fitzgerald, our guest, GoPowerCat.com, his publication. If you're a K-Stater, you're taking it. I can't imagine that there are many K-Staters out there who aren't subscribing to GoPowerCat.com. So a four-game winning streak for K-State. They're at 500, so it's not time to anoint anything. But certainly a much more promising path right now. How important is it for them to at least split these next two home games?
Yeah, I think it's essential. I mean, if they want to have any shot at the NCAA tournament, and the damage was so severe from the early part of the season, it's going to be extremely hard to do. You got to win one of these. And in all honesty, you might need to win two of them just for the win count and for keeping another loss out of that column. And this is an opportunity to really boost their computer rankings. Whatever the committee's using, you knock off two of these, you know, really good teams in back-to-back games, you're probably going to get a huge boost in your power rating because they're way too low. They've got to get their net up. They've just got to do a lot of things here to get improved in a better position. But they need to win a lot. And I think we've figured out they can only give away about two losses down the stretch here before the Big 12 tournament to be in consideration. And that's going to take a lot of really good basketball to accomplish.
Seems like every time we talk, the conference kind of turns upside down a little bit, or we see some very surprising results. It's kind of cliche to ask if there's a great team in this conference, but I guess the question would be, does all this beating up on each other help or hurt the conference overall?
You know, I think in football, when you're really competitive, it can hurt you because your starters are having to play every game. I think it's less so in basketball. I think where it damages the Big 12, again, coming back to the coaches being so adept at breaking down their opponents, I think they all become so focused on how to beat Big 12 teams. They get in the tournament with maybe a little bit different styles and some different issues and less familiarity, and it becomes a little more difficult for them. So I think success can almost be incestuous in the fact that you're all kind of playing the same way within a conference in many ways, or you're stealing from each other ideas. And once you kind of, you know, unpack that and understand what you're doing, it's great in conference, but boy, you get in the tournament and you're presented with a whole set of new problems that you got to solve in short notice.
I'll kind of stay on that conference theme that Jeff brought up, and Tim Fitzgerald's our guest. We're more than halfway now, two-thirds of the way through the college basketball season. We completed a Big 12 football season. What are your impressions of this new Big 12 with 16 teams from different areas of the country? Do you like it? You think it's going to be great for the future? What are your thoughts?
I do like it. I think we've seen additions from these Pac-12 schools that I didn't expect. I thought Utah was the best culture in terms of fitting in the Big 12, and they've kind of remained a little bit standoffish with this whole thing, which is disappointing. And, you know, part of it's probably that they had a miserable football season that was completely unexpected. That tends to make your fans a little bit grumpy and looking for things to blame. But I think Arizona and Arizona State are darn happy to be in this conference from everything I can see. And Colorado's probably happy to be home because I'm going to say it, they should have never left. They thought that was going to be best for them, and it really wasn't. So I think it's good. I've enjoyed this a lot. I don't know if we're done with realignment or what, but 16 is probably the best number to operate with, if not 12, and going to 20. The Big Ten's at 18, and it would just, the numbers are getting absurdly big, but I think all these conferences are going to be at 20 at some point.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you about football, because K-State mm-hmm. had a season that you can probably make a case was either close to what was expected or maybe a tad disappointing. What are you expecting for 2025? Do you think K-State will open the season in the top 25? How good can the Cats be?
They'll be really good. They return a lot of promising players, bringing a lot of more players up from that 2023 recruiting class that has been so important. We'll see more and more of those guys. Today and tomorrow, we're meeting with the media is meeting with the transfer portal guys. We had the offensive players today, which are three receivers, three offensive linemen, and one running back. You can tell where they were worried about their roster. They needed to improve the depth in the offensive line. They needed to improve the playmaking ability in the receiver room, and they needed a big physical back, which they found. So, and on top of that, all seven of the guys were extremely well-spoken, nice guys, and I think they're good fits for this locker room, which is important to Chris Klieman. We'll get the defensive guys tomorrow, but I think K-State now knows how they need to recruit to build a team that can compete at the highest level in this conference and maybe beyond. And I think they will be one of the favorites. But, you know, you got BYU out there, Arizona State out there. It's going to be fun. And the one truth I know about the Big 12, and We voted in these media polls before that whatever this the media decides will be the 2025 top teams. I ignore that and put money on the 16th pick to win some games.
Yeah. Well, you've been a great guest of ours over the years. Anytime we've called upon you, you've been more than willing to come on the show. And we know you faced some health issues and that you're doing well. And we hope you're around for a long, long time, Fitz. And we'll talk in the future, I hope.
Okay, brother. You stay in touch. If you ever fire something back up, you know I'm in.
All right. You bet. Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Always good to talk to him. And always good to talk to our next guest, Eric Adams, the girls' basketball coach at Wellington. They're having another fabulous season. Just one loss here as we do the show here in early February. Eric, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, Bob. Excuse me. How you doing today?
Oh, you know, we're hanging in there. We're doing our thing. These are kind of the dog days after tournaments are over. You re-energize, you regroup, you start to wind down the regular season. Is it a little more challenging to maybe get the team to play at a really high level now, or is it really case by case, team by team?
No, it really is. I mean, at least for us, I can't speak for all the other coaches, but after that mid-season tournament, you just kind of, in fact, we had a whole week off before we played Mulvane last night, and so it's just that kind of practice a couple of days, maybe give them a day off, or maybe just a little shoot around for 45 minutes or so, or walkthroughs, and you kind of get out of rhythm this time of year, and you've already been on the floor in the practice gym for, what, almost going on 2.5 you know, close to 3 months. And so gets a little tiresome, but, you know, it is what it is. All teams have to go through it. And now we get into February, we're just going to be game after game after game. So we'll be ready. But last night showed a little bit with the week off. We were a little rusty, a little tired, and we got the win. So.
Yeah, speaking of playing at a high level, you had a game against Hayes that Hayes just happened to win, but 74-72 was the score of that one. I have to imagine, I don't know if you captured it while you were involved in it, but that just screams, that score of a game just screams like everyone was firing on all cylinders. What tell us about that game and kind of what it came down to at the end.
It was a fun game to coach in, definitely, and the players really obviously hurt afterwards in the locker room, but quickly recovered. But it was a fun state, like last day feel or a semifinal feel to it. Good crowd. Everybody was into it. Teams just getting after it. You see that score, you think, there was no defense. No, teams were getting after it. It's just you have really some tremendous offensive power on both teams. And so it was really, really, it was fun. You know, it wasn't fun coming out of that short end, but we got better for it. We watched film the next, not actually the next day, been on Monday. We got back, watched film, broke it down, learned a lot about ourselves that we weren't doing quite well if we want to make a March run, and had probably our two or three best practices after that game film. So Hayes does that to you. They are they're a loaded team. I see them making a deep run in the 5A tournament. So, fun game to play in.
Yeah, they're good in really almost every sport right now, and Wellington's getting better in almost every sport. And of course, girls basketball, you've been at the pinnacle for a while. So when you have a game like that, Eric, after, let's face it, you have a lot of blowout victories. Your team is head and shoulders above a lot of your competition. Do your girls understand the value of that game, even with a loss, and what they can gain from losing even?
Absolutely. We talk about it, but the girls get it. They get it. Just, again, the competition level of what Hayes brought to us, they understand it. It did make them better. And the breaking down the film, they understood having some thick skin and the four coaches kind of, push and pause, rewind, pause, here's what went wrong here, or, we should have attacked the boards on this one play here, we get that one that probably doesn't go to overtime, or whatever it might be. The girls understand it, to answer your question, and so it's going to prepare us, as we've mentioned, for the long road.
How valuable is it to have teaching moments still for this team in February or late January when when the season, there might start to be some just general complacency or the dog days or whatever, but to have a film session like that with a group of players who have played a lot of big games, they obviously know what it takes to win big games, and you obviously don't want to see them cruise to the end, so how valuable is that as a teaching tool?
Very. Like I said, I'd say easily since mid-November, after that game, we had two or three, I think it was three that week, three of the best practices we've ever had. It was getting after each other. More so, we got more out of it than, literally some games. And so the kids just really got after each other, understanding that no minutes are promised on a deep team like this. And some of our defensive drills, our shell drills, our live drills, competition drills just revved up. It was fun to watch, and myself and my assistants let the players know that, how proud we were of them to answer the call of a loss like that. And so I see it just benefiting us in a big way.
Well, we've always appreciated your time that you've given us over the years. I told Jeff the other day, we do a lot of high school coaching interviews here,
mm-hmm.
Which kind of sets us apart, I believe, and you're mm-hmm. someone I associate with that. You might have been one of our very first, in fact, and my wife working in Wellington uh-huh. obviously has an effect, and we're big Wellington people, so thank you, Eric,
and we appreciate you. Yeah, we appreciate you having us on and letting, giving some pub to our program, and we really do appreciate it. Great show.
Well, this is our final week. I don't know if you've heard that, but I'm going to be watching and making sure, Eric, that you beat mm-hmm. Miege.
All right, they are they're back and loaded again. So, but if we get to see Miege, that means we did something really good. So. We'll give it everything we got.
Best of luck.
Yeah.
Best of luck the rest of the way. We appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Eric Adams, girls basketball coach at Wellington High School. I'll probably try to get down there for a game at some point.
Didn't have anything else for Eric?
What do you want me to talk to him about?
I don't know. Just kind of seemed like a short one.
Well, I didn't feel like it was a short one.
All right.
Did you have anything you missed asking?
Well, yeah, I think you were...
You repeated one of my questions. I thought you were done.
No, it wasn't really a repeat.
It was a repeat.
No, it wasn't.
When a guest says, well, as I said, that's their...
yeah, maybe, I know that a little bit, but I expanded on it.
It's maybe a little bit passive-aggressive, a way of saying, wait, I already
I know it is, but I don't think that was the case.
Whenever I learned this long ago...
I know, but I think his, like I said, was, that's a really good question that you've kind of expanded on.
Repeated.
Listen, that you've expanded on, and now you're forcing me to think beyond the answer I just gave. So I'm going to start by prefacing, I did say this, but there's also this.
I didn't get the but, and there's also this.
I heard it.
It was basically the same answer to the same question.
No, he gave a little bit more, and I think I asked the question differently, and I'll take that to my grave.
You can think that.
I will forget about it tomorrow.
Did you know at the time you were asking the question that this is pretty much the same question?
I knew that we had explored the topic. We had begun to explore the topic. I felt like there was more exploration to be done, so I went for it.
You feel satisfied that search for exploration was
it's redundant.
That search for exploration.
That's redundant.
Yeah, no, you were searching to explore.
I was exploring.
Were you exploring the search?
Maybe.
You feel like that was successful?
I give it a B minus. There was some new information he gave, but I understand that he probably felt like he had covered some of that.
Does Wellington have any interesting home games left?
I doubt it.
They don't. They're so much better. He said, you know, we were a little flat last night. We didn't really. And they won 68-25. I mean, I don't know. You either got it or you don't.
They have Andale, but they beat Andale pretty badly earlier in the season.
I've been to the Andale game before.
It's not quite as much of a game this year. I don't know. I don't think Rose Hill's very good. They have them next. So, yeah, those are their home games.
I don't know.
Generally speaking. And they also play at home against Augusta and Clearwater.
I wouldn't mind going to see the Augusta Orioles. I have really fond thoughts about Augusta.
Augusta's a nice town.
Isn't that strange?
I've had good times in Augusta. Clearwater's 9-5. That might be the best game remaining.
I played one of my worst games ever at Augusta.
So what you're saying is you played in Augusta.
Why are you saying that? Why are you threatened by me?
I'm so not. Why do you ask me that all the time?
Because every time I bring up something, you have to get a dig in.
It's enjoyable.
Like, if people just listened to you, they'd think I couldn't walk and chew gum. they'd think that I was...
Isn't that better?
Just a horrible athlete.
Isn't that better to set expectations low, and then when they see you out there...
Well, I can't do anything now.
Throwing batting practice or whatever you do. Oh, Bob's actually...
Well, I threw batting practice through my age 69 year. Not bad.
You're not doing it anymore?
No, I don't have a team.
Yeah, that's true.
Not coaching.
Crazy.
And I'm kind of relieved by that. We'll see how it goes.
We throw batting practice to me and Jason tomorrow.
I'm not. We're going to do the show here. I've decided.
All right, well, fine.
Yeah, I don't want you guys over there.
Why?
It's a professional workplace.
Well, we play baseball over there.
It's not for yahoos and guys like you.
We enjoy it. We have fun.
I got to figure out how to get this show guested up tomorrow. Feel like I got to go back and look at. Let me just turn to a page here,
a random page,
and see. Do we want?
Well, why don't you go? Do you have
all those?
Do you have your 2024 calendar?
Yeah, I'll look at that.
That's probably better. We're only in month two.
Oh, CJ Moore, we probably ought to try to get.
I asked about him the other day. He said, nah.
I'll try to get CJ Moore.
He always sounds unhappy to be on the radio.
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. He just has that voice. Hey, guys. He's a little Dextery. Hey, guys. It's KU, huh?
That's Bob Huggins.
It's everybody. I hope CJ Moore doesn't hear that, because I joke around about people I don't know very well, and CJ would probably listen. I don't even know this guy. Why is he saying this?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell him exactly what you said.
But I enjoy talking to CJ.
No,
I was
going to tell him exactly what you said.
I was the one who suggested him on the show.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell him exactly what you said.
All right.
What time do you want Teddy Woodward on Friday?
Top of the third hour.
4 o'clock?
Yeah.
I'll see what he can do. And, of course, we're going to do our skit.
Mm.
Two fans at Coke Arena.
Really?
People.
One guy asked for that.
People fall
off.
And
it was a relative.
We'll be back with one more hour. Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle will join us next.
Can't find that on the radio. You'll turn to that station.
Please hang on. Please. This is an official interruption of your local entertainment transmission.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that one?
Bob Lutz.
You know how they talk about street smarts? I got it. It puts you out on the street, and you may not ever find another street.
It's not realistic. It's crazy.
Jeff Lutz.
but what have you acquired from being on the street educationally that I haven't? Because here I am trying to provide for the show, trying to use what I got.
I hear ya!
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Listen to this if you can.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show. KFH Radio, Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host, Max Power, our producer and engineer. Here's Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle, Kansas.com, Wichita State Athletics beat writer. Shockers with a win on the road last night at Charlotte by 8 points. Taylor, hello, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
You bet. We got to get you on in our final week. So what's the meaning of the win last night? Does it have any meaning? Can the Shockers somehow find a way to get on a little bit of a roll here in the final 10 games of the regular season?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously better than a loss. It's hard to take away too much. You know, Charlotte, you know, last place in the American. So, you know, those are the only two wins so far in the conference for WSU. So I don't know if we learned that much. I would say, you know, it is a tiny step in the right direction, just given the fact that they were down two starters, Justin Hill, Harlan Beverly. You know, that's a good chunk of minutes in the rotation that was missing. And they have really struggled on the road last year and this year. So, you know, in that regard, it was a step forward, you know, faced a little adversity, got down early in the first half and was able to battle back. So, you know, you did see some good things. Freshman Zion Pipkin was, you know, a bright spot for the team. You know, he was kind of the one that stepped up in those guys' absences. So, yeah, you know, they have some momentum now. And really it's just going to, yeah, I mean, if they can steal another one on the road this weekend at South Florida, then you're talking about, you know, some momentum going forward and maybe turning this thing around in the last 10 games.
It did happen in the game following when Paul Mills said that maybe some rotation changes would be coming and different guys would get playing times. That didn't happen right away, but it happened last night because, like you said, they were missing two of their high-minute players in Justin Hill and Harlan Beverly. Do you think Zion Pipkin would have gotten that opportunity eventually if those guys hadn't been out? And what kind of ways did that force Wichita State to play differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, yeah, you know, if you're spending 40 minutes at the point guard position on seniors who aren't getting the job done, I do think, you know, they would have eventually turned to someone like Pipkin who's already played. So, you know, red shirts off the table. I think he would have eventually got a opportunity. But yeah, you know, he kind of got forced into action last night because of Justin Hill's absence. And yeah, I thought he took I thought he capitalized on that opportunity. Didn't really do that much flashy, but you know, just kept the ball moving, got the offense, some kick out threes. He had some nice head to head passes to Corey Washington. He had a nice rapport with Washington, finding him in transition, finding him on cuts. He was only credited with three assists. I tracked him at six, though. You know, I go back and watch the tape, and he had six assists. So I don't know what happened there, but six assists, zero turnovers in 14 minutes. So pretty impressive showing. That's pretty much his first real opportunity in a game. You know, on the road in conference play, that's a very tough ask for a true freshman to get his very first opportunity at real minutes. But yeah, I mean, I thought Zion Pipkin excelled. You know, there were moments where, you know, you could see the inexperience, particularly on defense with some missed rotations, some screwed up, you know, pick and roll coverages. But for the most part, he did a lot of good when he was on the court. And, you know, from my vantage point, I think he earned minutes going forward. Will that be the case? You know, when Justin Hill comes back, we got a little bit of a logjam at point guard with him, Bijan Cortez, and now Zion Pipkin. So I don't know if they'll be able to fit him in moving forward, but man, it feels like they need to with how he played last night.
Taylor Eldridge is our guest from the Wichita Eagle. Let's fast forward a little bit, because this team is going to lose a bunch of people at the end of the season due to graduation, running out of eligibility. I don't know what this is going to look like in a year. Do you get any indication from Paul Mills about how he wants to build the roster for next year? I know it's hard to tell, because who knows? Will Corey Washington want to come back for a senior year? Will Pipkin and some of the younger guys who really haven't gotten on the floor much this year, will they want to come back? But do you get any kind of indication on his theory about how to move forward?
Well, I did talk to him this last offseason. He did say, you know, the importance of retention. And, you know, you saw that in this year's roster, you know, for better or for worse. But I do know that they plan on, you know, retaining guys. You know, they don't want to get just one-year rentals and build, you know, the foundation around those guys. They do. I think this staff does believe in, you know, trying to keep guys here for, you know, at least 2 years, two-year cycles. So, you know, I'm sure the plan is to bring back Corey Washington, to apply for a waiver for Monte Bozniak, try to get him back. I think A.J. McGinnis might have a case, you know, to get a year back with redshirt. I think Ronnie DeGray, the same boat. But I think those guys are set on moving on, you know, after this year. But it will be interesting to see what they do. They have a JUCO commit right now, and that's up in the air with how many years of eligibility JUCO guys are going to have. Will it be 4 years? Will it be the two that it's always been? They have a high school kid coming out of Texas, another PJ Cousinard kid coming up. That's pretty highly thought of. So that's two, but you remember the rosters are expanding after this year as well, so they can fill up to 15 scholarships if they want. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, double digit new guys on the team for next year. But I think the majority of the recruiting is obviously going to come in the transfer portal after the season. You know, I would expect him to do similar things to what he did this year, bring in a lot of veterans, guys that have played college basketball for, you know, 3-4 years, and try to get this thing flipped quick, because as you know, I think WSU fans are growing a little weary. You know, it's a third straight 500, a little below 500 year. So, you know, they want to be back in that championship hunt. And I don't think he has, you know, the time to try to build this thing in 5-6 years. I think WSU fans, you know, they want to see a winner, and, you know, pretty quickly.
Yeah, so how are we supposed to perceive if Zion Pipkin is going to get an opportunity, and Joey Igavoja has played a little bit, but he and Giannis Bamba and TJ Williams, if Wichita State is interested in retaining players and those guys are on the roster but not playing, is that considered retention? Or did they care about bringing guys back who they aren't putting on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the younger guys, it is important. You know, you put years in a program, you learn the terminology, you can build them up. I think specifically, you know, Zion Pipkin, TJ Williams, those guys are in the plans moving forward. Yeah, it's just kind of tough to know with Joy Igavoja and Giannis Bamba. You know, just haven't seen a ton of them. We've seen Joy in spot minutes the last 2 years, but, you know, it seems like he got pulled from the rotation pretty quickly this year. So I don't know what their future is going forward, but, you know, it's not like you can bring 15 guys in that all can play, want to play. You know, you do need some guys at the end, some projects, some guys that want to, you know, work on their game and build their way up. So, it's not, you know, you do have to fill out those bottom slots, and you want good team guys, you want good locker room pieces. And I think by everything I've heard, you know, those guys fit the bill there. So, but yeah, I mean, I think, bringing back the freshmen is going to be a pretty high priority, because I know people are very high on Zion Pipkin moving forward. I wrote about him today. He talked a little bit with Bijan Cortez, and he said he's going to be, you know, a star point guard going forward. I know Paul Mills has said something similar to that earlier this season. So bringing him back is going to be a high priority. I know they like TJ too. He just got hurt at the wrong time and missed a bunch of the preseason. You know, it's just hard to bring a true freshman in this late in the year in conference play and to burn a whole year for, you know, spot minutes over the last 10, 15 games. You got to think what's best for the players. So I think the plan for him is probably going to be redshirt. They haven't said that officially, but it just seems like that's the case. And he's obviously a pretty intriguing prospect. Wichita kid, can really defend, can handle it, can do all the little things. I know, Jeff, you just wrote that really good piece on Joe Auer. That's a Joe Auer product. So he knows the details of how to win. I think he'll be a valuable player down the road for WSU.
Taylor Eldridge, our guest, I guess we can't give equal time, but we should mention that while we're lamenting the fact that Wichita State men's basketball has not taken off yet under Paul Mills, we should point out that Wichita State women's basketball is in the same boat under Terry Nooner. Now, there's certainly not the same attention given to that, but why are the Shocker women not doing better?
Yeah, it's that's a tough one. I mean, it's I know they liked the recruits they brought in, but yeah, I mean, it's just it hasn't translated for another year in American play. I know they expected to be a little bit better, but you know, you look at where they were picked in the conference, and you know, they were picked, you know, near the bottom. So you know, I think they're 1-9. In conference play now, and yeah, they're kind of struggling to get traction, and yeah, that's a tough nut to crack. You know, with the women's program, they had the ball really rolling in the Missouri Valley there under Jody Adams, and ever since then, it's been really tough to get anything going for the Shocker women's basketball. So that's going to take, yeah, I mean, that's going to take like a really good recruiting class, and I think it is possible in the transfer portal. You just have to hit on, you know, your targets, hit on your recruits, and you can flip things in 1 year, you know, in today's college basketball era. So it doesn't take long, but, yeah, you just have to bring in the right recruits, I think.
So we know we're very close to baseball and softball season starting. It seems like both of those teams at Wichita State will be good. What can a successful baseball and softball program mean to an athletic department in the year 2025?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of bottom line, you know, in terms of just money, you know, not a lot, unfortunately. You know, men's basketball is just such a huge revenue driver. Baseball, you know, I think they draw fans, but just not in the same way. But who's to say, you know, maybe there's such an appetite for winning with Shocker fans that, you know, if this baseball team is able to, you know, live up to the hype, I think they really think they could do, you know, something special this year and be that team to get back to postseason. You know, maybe that does bring fans out in droves, but it's just hard. You know, baseball, just not the same as men's basketball. You're not going to bring in, you know, a 10, you know, when men's basketball obviously gets the peak, you know, 10,500. So, it's not the same, but I think for Shocker fans, I think that would be something special. You know, they've been really hungry for something to root for. And, you know, I think, baseball and softball, I don't know if softball is going to be as, you know, great as they were in the Sidney McKinney, Addie Barnard years, but I still think they are going to be really, really good, a championship contender for sure. But baseball, you know, it's been a long time coming. I know a lot of fans really want to see the baseball, you know, back in postseason play, back in the championship hunt. And if they can deliver on that, I think that would bring a lot of Shocker fans out this spring.
And it really feels like Brian Green, the baseball coach, has worked hard at connecting with Shocker fans, and that, for the most part, from my read, has been very successful at doing so. So I think that gives them a little bit of a leg up. Taylor, thank you. Always our pleasure to get you on the show and talk Shocker athletics. We'll be following your work the rest of the year.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. And, thanks for always bringing me on the radio show. And for all your work, I knew I grew up reading the Wichita Eagle, admiring your work, Bob, and awesome to work with Jeff along the way as well. So it's been really cool to come on your show and to be a guest. So always appreciate it, and thanks for all you've done for me.
Hey, Taylor,
Jeff's stepping over you, Taylor.
I didn't mean to step over you. I just didn't want you to hang up. Before you leave, a lot of people, rightly so, believe that you are very talented. We believe that also, and that what's this guy still doing in Wichita when he could maybe even have a national voice? I know you got married. That might be part of the reason you stay in Wichita, but why have you? And what other opportunities have come along for you?
Oh, man, I just, I grew up in Wichita. Like I said, I think there's still, a piece of me that just really loves the Eagle. I grew up, reading the high school sports, and it's a bummer that it's not what it was or not what it used to be, but, still trying to keep it afloat. And I think I just really love Wichita. And like you said, I just got married. And so we're kind of setting up shop here, hopefully, for the extended future. But, yeah, I just really love the city and love the high school sports scene. And, just started doing Wichita State the last, 6-7 years. And I've really enjoyed that. So I'm just kind of it's always been home to me. So that's kind of the reason why. But, yeah, I've had opportunities to move on. But I think I just like what I do here, and love covering all the sports in Wichita.
Works for me.
All right, Taylor. We appreciate it. Best of luck to you moving forward, and I'm sure we'll talk down the road.
All right. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. We'll take a break and come back and visit with our friend Chris Lamb.
Lambo,
Wichita State volleyball coach. Certainly one of our favorite guests over the years. No one like Lambo. And you'll get the opportunity to hear what he has to say next. Here's Chris Lamb, the head volleyball coach at Wichita State University, a frequent guest, as we're lining our show with frequent guests, guys and girls we want to touch base with. Coach Lamb, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it, guys. Can't believe this is happening.
Did we get you your proper reminders that you were
due
to come on today?
Yeah, it's just a crazy time of year. I'm all over the map.
When aren't you all over the map? Because you're just kind of that way. You're all over the map all the time, aren't you?
Well, I got my own projects, but I think as you guys probably know, the college sports world is unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Yeah, as I try to interpret that, is that a good thing, a bad thing? Neither of those things, just reality. And how are you adapting to it?
Okay, well, I didn't intend for this to go this direction, but I would say to people, I think transitions are hard. It feels like the wild, wild west right now. You're just reacting, trying to be nimble, but, I just feel like if there's anything that you would say is directing the direction of the NCAA as we know it, it would sadly be litigation. I think they're just bouncing off one lawsuit to the next, and so if you ever want to change the NCAA, just get mad at them and call a lawyer. And they'll care them for another week, and then they'll care them for another week. And I don't know. I don't know who to blame. I don't, but changes are happening. I fear that the collateral damage will just be maybe more for people and programs at the top, but less programs at the bottom. That means less people playing college sports. Feels like club is in the future for the bottom of college athletics. I don't necessarily mean all of Division I, but hey, my alma mater, Sonoma State University, cut athletics a week ago. I wondered why it took this long. So that's what I worry about. But maybe maybe there'll be some chopping up of this, and, you know, people can choose different paths that they want to go down, and people will just, you know, find another way to do it. But it'll always be sports. I just don't know if it'll always look like the way you and I envisioned it or are used to it. And that's what I mean.
Do you feel a responsibility to follow stuff like that day to day when it's constantly changing? Obviously, you're going to follow it from some sort of higher up or lower down view, and you're going to have all the information. But do you do that personally? Do you wait for Kevin Saul to kind of inform you what's going on? How do you get all that information with everything changing as quickly as it does?
Well, in terms of getting information, it's the rumor mill. It's what, you know, we all got friends everywhere. So every week there's somebody's AD says something to somebody and they put it out there. So we hear what their AD said or what their commissioner said. And then you hear what your AD says and your commissioner says, and you see something on the TV or the radio. And, you know, you're just trying to go, well, this is what I heard. This is what I heard. And, you know, but then we also know that they put these dates out there that, you know, like the next big one is going to be April 7th. And on April 7th, we're going to hear about some decision. And then that decision will go out and it'll make a bunch of people angry, and then they'll challenge it and we'll sit and idle again. That's what I feel. But sooner or later, the seasons have to start. So before these seasons start, before the fall season rolls around, we've got to have some rules to play by. So they'll put something out there, but I have a feeling there'll be a lot of changes. Remember how you and I used to watch one guy play for the same baseball team their whole career, and I just never even see it anymore? Well, that's how seasons feel to me. And then, I mean, totally off the subject, but, you know, I was at our Shocker Hall of Fame banquet the other night, and it just makes me wonder what a Hall of Famer is going to look like anymore at a college. You know, are there really going to be people at schools for 4 years and having these careers that we're used to, or are we going to have Hall of Famers that just had a good year? I don't know. That's a different side note, but just
get ready. They want to come back for a Hall of Fame ceremony to a place they were for only 1 year.
Yeah, maybe they'll be in four different Hall of Fames. I don't know. But, yeah, for guys like us, it's just going to feel really weird. But, you know, as long as kids have, you know, places to go to play ball, that makes me happy. I hope that school is still a part of it. But that's even something I'm kind of going, well, is it even going to be? I mean, imagine club sports around the world. We're the only ones that do it at colleges, right? And do this thing. Well, maybe it'll be like the Wichita soccer team at Wichita State, the Wichita basketball team at Wichita State. You know, I don't know. I mean, it'll be, maybe you'll just use our facilities, but you're not going to really be students anymore. That's a very radical way to say it, but you can almost see it coming that way. But yeah, my hope is that communities that want to support sports teams can still have it. And, I hope kids are still able to keep the sports dream alive after high school and have a place to go. But I do worry about it. I'm not gonna lie.
Lambeau, I wish Brandon Crawford had retired a Giant too.
Oh, come on now. Yeah. Yeah.
Forever a Cardinal.
Right. Well, didn't he go like a month without a hit or something? It was crazy.
Yeah, he didn't do a whole lot.
But
he was a great Giant for a long time.
Man. Long time, yeah, yeah.
So, all right, so it's always good to have you on because we don't.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I cut you off. My bad.
Well, I'm just like, you know, like, you know, all good things have to come to an end. I don't know. I just, we definitely got to do something in person, though. You guys promised me that, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're not going to be deceased anytime soon. At least I hope not. So you never know what the future. That's what I'm telling people. You know, this is not necessarily goodbye. It's just we're at the end of this. Whatever.
Well,
this
a lot
is.
Of my and a lot of my Bay Area radio figures have all taken the podcast now, and I'm really enjoying falling asleep every night to Larry Kruger. whatever he wants to talk about. I put my ear pods in my ear, and I don't know how long before I fall asleep, but I listen to all things 49ers and Giants and Warriors through him via his podcast, and he's got a big following now, and he seems to be loving his podcast world that he's created for himself, and a bunch of guys are doing that.
Yeah, it's like, as you said, with college athletics, the media landscape's changing just as quickly. Talking with Chris Lamb, Wichita State volleyball coach. So we're not really going to talk about volleyball. Not doing that, and you spend a lot of time, obviously, with your team and coaching and learning new things. But when you're not doing that, you have this really great family, your wife and your daughters. What's your fun zone? What do you do to have a lot of fun?
Well, I love my projects. I'm kind of a do-it-yourselfer. I'm pretty proud of my basement now with my tile work and my floors and the bar I built and all the shelves. Right now, I'm restoring an old piece of heavy furniture I got off Facebook Marketplace for $40, and it's almost done, and I'm excited about that. I've got my projects indoor and out. I'm kind of a jack of all trades that way, and it's relaxing and fun for me. So that's one of my answers. I'm also pretty close to my guys that I grew up with. We communicate a lot, and I don't know if you're on the phone every day with one of your childhood friends or whatever, but there's not a week that doesn't go by that I'm not with one of them. I mean, people are always asking me, like, I can't believe you guys are, you know, still in touch. Like, well, for me, yeah, I got my circle. I keep them close to me, and I put a lot. I think I spend time with that. My daughters are busy. Sydney's up at K-State doing band, and Sydney's up at K-State in the band. Gracie's here at Wichita State, but she's like an exchange, so she's spending this year at the University of Minnesota, but as a Wichita State student. So Shan and I have, you know, got the house to ourselves now, so that's a little different, I got to tell you. I don't know. Am I boring? Sorry, am I boring?
No, this is all good, and of course you follow your Bay Area teams, and you've always been a very interesting guy to all of us who know you, and it's not always about volleyball, although your attention to volleyball is not common. You love the game. What keeps you loving the game? What keeps you enthralled by the game of volleyball?
Every day I feel like I get to solve a puzzle. I love puzzles. I go to practice. I've got a list of things I'm trying to help each of my players with as an individual athlete. And then, of course, you know, gaming out your roster to how can you find 25 points, you know, the best way with the group you have. I mean, that part of this thing will never change for me. I don't like the fact that assembling teams and maintaining teams has become so crazy. That's not as much fun. Bobby, here's my analogy. You say I'm interesting. Well, try it this way. So imagine when you're a kid, you know, you wanted to become an expert at, you know, Easter eggs. You wanted to make the best Easter egg. So you spent all week, you know, coloring this special egg, and, you know, maybe you did some artwork on this special egg, or maybe you were gluing some hair or something. You put a lot of time into that egg. And then you took that Easter egg with you to your cousin's house for, you know, everybody's doing Easter egg hunt, and then they hide all the eggs, and then all the kids go out and gather the eggs, and then they tell you that the winner is the person who gathered the most eggs, you know? So then you're kind of like, well, all right, well, I like training players. I like developing players. So that's like making the Easter egg. But then the winner is the person who gathered the most eggs. Well, gathering to me is like recruiting. It's like, well, okay, but I'm still the guy that likes to make the better-looking egg. I like to train athletes and make better players. But, okay, we're going to have to recruit. That's how college athletics is. But, you know, for me, it's been player development. in my analogy, you know, making the better egg. But now it's not even gathering eggs. It's just going to the store and buying eggs, you know, through all the NIL and the revenue sharing. And, you know, I mean, to me, that's my analogy. It's like, I just wanted to make players better. All right, well, now you got to go recruit. Okay, I get it. I signed up for this job. Let's go do that too. But this next level where you just run out and buy eggs, well, that kind of takes the fun out of it, the way you and I know this job to be a whole nother level. Or what can you buy? You know, I don't know. That's sorry for the crazy example, but that's
the way
it popped.
Did you just make up that analogy right now?
No. I said that to my friend a couple weeks ago when we were together. Like, what's this coming down to? And I go, dude, it reminds me of my Easter egg hunt every Easter at my cousin's house, and made me mad that the older cousins would gather the most eggs. And like my uncle Frank says, they were the winners. I'm like, what about my egg? My egg's the best egg. Nah. And I don't know. I'm sorry for the creative random craziness that my brain takes me on, but maybe that's a visual for everybody out there the way I see it.
We enjoy it. So we never get to talk to you at this time of year. What do you do for the Super Bowl? And do you? I imagine you probably don't care who wins, but does part of you care who wins?
Well, so, you know, I've always, you know, I'm not a Chiefs fan. I'm a Niner fan, but I've always loved Andy Reid. You know, the way everything went down for him with, you know, with Philly the first go around, I was super happy to see him land at KC and then do great. But I also don't need to see dynasties and sports for very long. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was fun when my Warriors got hot, and I don't get disappointed when the Niners were good, when we were good. But, you know, it wouldn't have bothered me to see the Lions in there with the Bills, you know, or that I was ready for some new blood. I do like the Saquon Barkley story. But I feel like right now, I just hope it's a great game. I hope the referees don't decide it. I think that about all things, you know, tournament and playoffs. And I hope we get a great game out of these guys. I think the playoff games have been great. I wish every sport handled business like the NFL. I like salary cap a lot. I don't like what basketball has become. I don't even want to talk about the way we manage baseball anymore. But, I love the parity in the NFL, and everybody's got a chance every year. And, you know, but some teams are doing it right, and they keep coming back. So good for them. They're doing a good job. And I will be watching the Super Bowl, and let's hoping for a good game.
Lambo, you are the one and only, and we always appreciate your time that you spend with us on our show. We look forward to following what happens with Shocker Volleyball, and I'm sure we'll touch base down the road.
Well, you know where to find me. I will enjoy that. And remember, we're still going to do a face-to-face before this thing really comes to an end.
No question. Thank you, Chris.
All right, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Slam, Wichita State volleyball coach. He's something else, isn't he?
One of a kind, as you said.
Did you follow the Easter egg analogy?
I got it.
No, you didn't.
Of course I did.
You lost it.
No, I didn't. I wasn't sure where he was going at first with the gathering, but then I picked it back up.
No, I'm the only one that got to the end of it.
Okay, well, congratulations.
Ted Woodward sends me a message that he'll post on Facebook. 80 years ago today, Jamie Thompson was born.
Wow.
One of the all-time great City Leaguers at East High School and all-time great Shockers. That means something to me.
As it should.
Career free throw record at Wichita State. He's the all-time best career free throw shooter. Guess his percentage.
88.6.
85.3.
Do you think now that we have more numbers available, you can go 64 and you can go up to the sixes and the sevens on college jersey numbers, that Wichita State maybe should start retiring more jerseys?
Yeah, let me give that some thought.
All right, well, answer me by Friday.
Yeah, I'll get back to you. I'll text you.
Thank you.
So the booking for Friday's four-hour extravaganza continues to grow. We'll have Chris Davis, Weston Sharts, guys we've both known forever,
Our buds.
I've known them since they were in high school. Mike Furches will be on the show on Friday. Ted Woodward's just agreed to come on at 3:40.
Excellent.
And I guess we'll get David Michael Hahn.
Oh, that's
at
great.
At 5:20, is that right?
Good choice.
No, that's not my choice.
What? I thought you booked him.
No, is that the time he wants?
Here, David Michael Hahn is an interesting character.
How so?
He's like, I think he's like nervous because he doesn't feel like he's wanted.
Wonder how he got that impression.
He doesn't know what we're going to talk about. I think he's like, I don't know.
How would he get that impression?
Because I just said, hey, you want to stop by? And he's feeling like he's crashing a party. And I say, no, you're part of it.
Would he get that impression from you?
No, not from me, but I think he just has the impression.
From me?
Probably.
Why?
You're not a welcoming person.
Well, that's just ridiculous. Who's nicer to David Michael Hahn than me?
Probably me.
At our, I don't agree with that.
Okay. I don't know why he wouldn't.
Saturday, big day. We're going to show the More Like Jackie documentary at the Orpheum Theater at 5 o'clock. Doors open at 4. Tickets $10 at the door. I hope there's going to be a good crowd. It's a very well done documentary by Jamie Green and Travis Hying from the Wichita Eagle. They've been on the show to talk about it. You've seen it in its entirety, as have I. And we're going to let the people of Wichita come into a big theater setting and look at this one-hour documentary.
I think that's a good idea.
It's about the statue theft, the Jackie Robinson statue theft. And really, it starts right at that time and goes through the time that we put up the new statue.
Right, the stories that came out of the statue being stolen.
It almost seems like another time. I know it's only been like a year,
yeah,
a little more than a year.
It does feel like a lot longer ago than that.
But it's been a long year.
I get it.
Trying to deal with all of it.
Everybody said January was a long month, and I didn't experience that. So.
Oh, January is always a long month.
Felt fine to me this
really?
Year. Yeah. Maybe even fast.
Well, March will be here before you know it, and that's when I feel like spring is a little bit in the air. I know we can get some bad weather in March, but for the most part,
we have some spring-like days in March.
I feel like March is a sign of blossoming. You know,
yeah, March makes me a little anxious, but I'll be okay.
Why is that?
Because that's when it starts to get light again, and just, you know.
Oh, brother.
A few years ago, I had a very
vampire you are.
Difficult part of my life in that.
Huh?
A few years ago, I had a difficult stretch in May and April and March. It was all right. Difficult stretch.
Get over it, man.
Well, what does that mean?
It means if it was a difficult stretch 3 years ago, who cares?
Well, I do.
It's over.
There's a word called, you know, triggers, things that...
Nothing triggers from 3 years ago.
Yeah, things trigger from lifetime.
Really?
Have you not heard of this concept?
I don't know. I don't know if I don't know.
You have no triggers.
Not that give me one.
I don't know. That's,
say something, I'll see if it triggers.
I don't know.
Just randomly say something.
Fire hydrant.
No trigger. Didn't do a thing.
You know, you have triggers, and so does everybody else.
You want to give it another shot?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because I'm not enjoying this exercise.
You don't enjoy much about this effort anymore, do you?
That's not true. But just being told get over it, I don't know if I like that.
Well, I'm not saying get over it. I'm saying move on.
It's not that I'm not over it or that I haven't moved on, but it's still there. It still exists, and I'm fine.
Well, I hope so.
Give me some credit, man.
I hope so.
I'm ridiculously strong of mind.
Is it okay for me to mention what I mentioned on Facebook?
I don't know what you mentioned on Facebook.
Is it gratuitous?
What?
What I put on Facebook last night.
What'd you put on Facebook last night?
about, you know, an honor I received.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Is it okay, or does it seem like...
Sure.
Why is this guy saying this?
Have at it.
You say it.
Why? You were nominated for induction into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and I'm happy about that because it means... Halls of Fame, especially in this state, mean a lot to me.
You're already in the Wichita Sports Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, yeah. And I'm grateful for that.
Do you think I'll ever be in the Wichita Sports?
I wouldn't bring in relatives from out of town. Let me just put it that way.
I think, I don't know if I'd even accept.
Really? That's the most ridiculous thing you've ever said.
Like the Eagles.
What would you say?
I'll pass this year, thank you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's silly. First of all,
they do the media, Mal Elliott Media Award. That's what you got. So you're not officially in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I'm in.
You were honored by the Hall of Fame, like the Ford Frick Award.
No, I'm in.
You are?
And I'm, you know, I'm grateful for this opportunity. One of 25. They did pare their list from 80 to 25. You know, they used to put out this incredibly long list of nominees, right?
Sure.
And it took you a day and a half to go through it all. Wisely, in my opinion, they've pared down that process.
Well, I don't remember it ever being that long.
It was pretty
long. Every time I've voted, it's been...
It was four, five, six pages of nominees.
Yeah, there's maybe 30.
No.
Really?
Jeff... No,
okay.
Many more than 30.
Okay, well, it didn't seem like an overbearing process.
Well, that's why they cut it down.
Even back then, I'm saying, even a few years ago.
Did you vote?
I have a few times.
Why did you get a vote?
Why wouldn't I? I'm a member of the media.
What media?
All of it.
Do you get a vote now?
Not that I know of. Not since Jordan Poland left.
Eh, too bad. Keep working at it, kid. All right, that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more guests and Jason Duda. See you then.